It's not so pretty with the All-Stars getting slammed by Francesco Totti and Roma in the Major League Soccer All-Star game. And I'm delighted to say we're going to get straight into our first guest and our guest for the show on the show today. He is a man who knows all things Major League Soccer and US soccer. He is Mr. Seth Vitelli of Goal.com. He really does need no more introduction than that. Love having him on the show. It's a pleasure to have him back. And joining us now on the line is Seth. Seth, mate, how are you doing? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show. It's been a little while since we last had you on here.
Yeah, I'm doing well, Oliver. It's always good to be back. Always a pleasure to be in your presence.
I tell you what, I think we're far more humbled to have you on our show than you are to be joining us. But we appreciate your kind words. That's very much. Thanks very much, there, Seth. Seth, obviously yesterday, the culmination of the All-Star break, the All-Star weekend. Are Roma going to be invited back? Because they really didn't seem to get the whole spirit of this thing by going out and just handing a complete destruction of the MLS All-Stars.
Yeah, Manchester United crushed the MLS All-Stars a couple times in a row. So they brought in Chelsea last year, and they proved to be a lot more welcoming of an opponent. So, yeah, maybe they'll go for Juventus or AC Milan next season or something.
were you surprised how serious Roma took this competition yesterday?
Not really. I mean, it's a preseason, but there's still guys out there fighting for their spot on the team. And then MLS, I don't think really helped matters with that promo. I'm not sure if you saw, but it was like, Rome wasn't built in a day, and it'll take 90 minutes to fall. And the Roma players saw that as kind of goading them. And, you know, I don't think they really needed any extra motivation, but that certainly gave it to them. So I wasn't surprised to see them go out and kind of take it to the MLS side.
I mean, do you think it's good to have that extra, a bit of intensity to this? Because obviously when we see the NBA All-Star games, you know, you see the Pro Bowl in the NFL, it's not very much hitting. The NBA All-Star game, you know, everybody kind of steps back and lets people dunk and stuff like that. Do you like the added intensity, especially when we are, you know, we're still halfway through this Major League Soccer season. We're in the middle of it. Does it help keep everybody's intensity up coming out of the break, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think it just kind of depends what kind of a game you like to watch. You know, if you saw some of those Messi and Friends games, for example, from earlier in the month, you know, that's kind of what maybe an MLS versus MLS All-Star game would be like. You know, the final score is like 8-6 and no one's really playing defense and guys are kind of jogging around, but also you get maybe more tricks, more crazy bicycle kick attempts and step overs and stuff like that. I mean, what you saw last night was more or less just a regular soccer game. And I think that's sort of what you get with this MLS versus a European side format, because MLS is out there kind of fighting for the pride of the league. They know that people over in Europe are watching. They know European scouts are watching. They don't want to go out and lose to a team from Europe when they're the all-star team. And, of course, on the other side, like I mentioned, you know, the European team, they don't want to go out and lose to a squad from a seemingly inferior league. So there's a little bit more on the line. I think it just kind of depends on what you want to get out of an all-star game.
What about you then personally? What do you like to get all out of the all-star game? Because obviously it is a great chance for some kind of the players maybe to switch off slightly into to have a kind of slightly more casual game of football. But for the European sides, as you say, you know, that it is a serious time in their preseason build-up. It's getting people fit and it's getting that chemistry together. What do you like to get out of it then, Seth?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing an MLS versus MLS format. I think the league obviously is growing. There's more and more teams, and I think the more time goes on, the more deserving players get left off the roster. And I think the league can use it sort of as a showcase for itself a little bit more. Yeah, the game might not be as intense, but I'd like to see some of the maybe younger, lesser-known guys get a chance to show themselves on an all-star stage. And I think, you know, with an all-star game, you can be a little more creative in the format as well. You know, it doesn't have to be necessarily like East versus West. You can switch it up, maybe like North America versus the rest of the world or something like that. You know, it's an all-star game. It's for the fans. So, you know, if you have an MLS versus MLS type all-star game, you can make it fun and maybe throw in some gimmicks or just some fun things that you don't normally see in a normal game.
Because this is something we've been kicking about for the last few days here at World Football Daily, been thinking about how we could make the All-Star break slightly better, maybe put in some kind of the skills competitions and stuff like that that you see at the NBA All-Star games and NHL All-Star games and stuff like that. But in all seriousness, you know, an academy's All-Star game was something that was kind of picked up for maybe the younger players, for the youth players, having that as a separate side addition game to this break. That would surely help kind of connect people with these up-and-coming youngsters that are in US soccer right now, whose careers are starting to develop and could become the next big thing in US soccer and get some hype about them from an early age.
Yeah, I like that idea. Baseball does something like that, sort of a prospects game. And another thing that baseball does is like a celebrity game, and I think that would be kind of fun too. Yeah, I mean, it's an all-star weekend, like I was saying. You know, make it fun. Put in some gimmicks. Put in some new stuff. You know, have a celebrity game. Have a game with some up-and-coming academy players, so the fans can get to know some of the younger players. And yeah, you know, I think a skills competition, if the players are down for it, you know, they do that in hockey, and then, you know, of course in the NBA. So there's definitely some things that they can borrow from the way that other sports do their All-Star games to make it more of a fun event rather than just a single game.
Are there many, and generally I just ask this more out of not knowing myself, but are there many, you know, big celebrity fans of soccer out there? Obviously, I guess you get a number of kind of European actors out there working in Hollywood and US TV in general. But in general, has soccer become kind of a much-loved sport by the celebrity world? Would you see kind of, I guess, like the likes of people like Donald Faison and people like that kind of wanting to get involved in this sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't think you'd have a problem fielding a team or a couple teams full of celebrity fans. I just think, like, you know, Steve Nash was out there training with Inter earlier this week. You know, I know Kobe Bryant is a big soccer fan. So, you know, guys like that, guys from the sports world, guys from the entertainment world, if you put together something like that. Now, I guess I don't know how much it would cost to get some guys like that. I know some these celebrities will have appearance fees and whatnot. So I don't know if that's maybe outside of the realm of what MLS would want to do financially, but yeah, just as a preliminary idea, I think it would be fun to see some guys like that out there playing a soccer game.
Do you think that would be, especially those kind of celebrities? I mean, a name obviously like Kobe Bryant would attract attention. Do you think that would be a better thing in general for promoting the All-Star Week and also promoting the sport in the US as well? Because it's a big opportunity at the moment for soccer to start maybe catching up with ice hockey and outdoing ice hockey in terms of viewership, in terms of attendances, as it already is doing, especially with the attendances in the stadiums and stuff.
Yeah, like I said, I think what you can do with the All-Star game is make it more than a game. You know, you can make it an event. You can make it something like NBA does with they do the All-Star Saturday night and then they do the game the next day. I think you can turn it into something a little bit more than it is now, and I think that would attract more attention than one singular game on a Wednesday night. You know, make it spread it out over a couple days, like baseball does or like basketball does. You know, have a skills competition, a young game or up and coming game with the prospects, celebrity game. You know, whatever. It doesn't have to be all those things, but just something to make it feel like more of a special event and a showcase of MLS. And, you know, if they're able to do that scheduling wise, I think it would be great, and it would bring more attention to the sport than just a single game.
Do you in general like the idea of having it at this time? Obviously, the All-Star game in the NBA and whatnot takes place midway through the season. In American football, of course, it takes place the week before the Super Bowl. Do you like the idea of it being right in the middle of the season, or would you rather see maybe Major League Soccer move it to kind of an end-of-year celebration for the players and for the fans?
Yeah, I guess there's kind of pros and cons to both. You know, having it in the middle of the season, the players are sharper, but it also disrupts maybe a team that's in the middle of a hunt for a playoff spot. But I think if you have it after the season, you'll have a lot less desire of players to play in that game because they just finished a long season. They'd probably rather be anywhere but a soccer field at that point in time. So I think in its current purpose, I would rather see it where it is right now just because it's easier to get those players there. They're more informed. They're sharper. And, yeah, you get them out there, and there's always a risk of injury, but, you know, these rosters are so big, they allow 9 or 10 substitutions a game. You know, you give a player, usually most players will play like a half or a little bit more. I know a couple guys had to go 90. But I think that in its current spot in the schedule is probably better than doing it at the end of the season when players just kind of want to get away from the game for a little bit.
And I suppose it's taking place at a time when there are a lot of European sides in and around the US on their pre-season tours themselves before the European season start. In general, with the European sides coming across to the US, do you find, not just the All-Star game, but these friendly fixtures as well, do you find they're a bit of a disruption and actually maybe something quite negative on Major League Soccer and the impression it gives about the importance of Major League Soccer compared to the European game?
Yeah, what I would like to see, and I think that some teams have been not playing these European sides, is I would like to see these European sides over here. It's great that they're over in the U.S. trying to grow their brand, trying to market a bit more, but I would rather just see the European sides come over here and play each other. When you get them playing MLS teams, it's one of these things where, first of all, it's a little bit of an unfair advantage for other MLS teams that don't have to play these European friendlies. I know the Galaxy are going to have to play Real Madrid, and I'm sure Bruce Arena is less than thrilled about that. You know, they're going to have their schedule disrupted. And then when these MLS teams play these European teams, it's sort of a no-win situation. It's like if they go out and they have a good performance or if they win, you know, you just say, well, you know, that European team, they're in their preseason, they're throwing in these guys that wouldn't normally play, so it doesn't mean anything. And then, of course, on the opposite side, if the European team wins, then it's like, oh my goodness, how bad is MLS? You know, they get this European team, they're in their preseason, they're not even playing guys that normally play, and they still come over and they beat an MLS team in the middle of their season. So I do like the idea of the European sides coming over here. I mean, it gives American fans a chance to see these teams that they wouldn't normally get to see. And also they go to cities where they don't even have an MLS team. You know, they'll be playing in like Phoenix and St. Louis and Indianapolis. So for fans in those cities, it's great. And I wouldn't want to deprive them of the chance to see, you know, Chelsea or Inter or Real Madrid or whoever, because that's really cool for them. But I would just rather have it limited to a preseason game between two European teams and leave it at that.
Because do you think it does give a diminutive impression on Major League Soccer? It does give a sense slightly, and my context might be all wrong here, but, you know, the all-powering Europeans coming across and Major League Soccer bowing to the will of the big European money sides, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of what happened a couple seasons ago when I remember it was Manchester City came over. I don't know if you remember this, but they played Vancouver, and because it was Manchester City, Vancouver had to actually switch their turf field, which they normally played on for MLS games, for a temporary grass field. And then there was like a big rainstorm in Vancouver, so they ended up having to cancel their MLS game on the weekend in order to salvage their friendly against Manchester City like 2 or 3 days later. And it just made them look kind of silly because, you know, first of all, they had to change their pitch out, which they deemed perfectly fine for MLS play. And also they had to basically prioritize this friendly over an MLS game. And so it was a big mess. And those sorts of things are examples of why it's, I mean, in my opinion, they should just stick to the European teams, play the European teams here in the U.S., because otherwise you get these situations where MLS teams, like you said, they kind of look like they're just giving in to whatever the European teams want to do.
Who's going to be maybe the most disrupted by by the All-Star break then in Major League Soccer and by these European sides coming over as well. Do you think it is going to have an impact on anybody's season? We're obviously seen throughout the US, throughout the Major League Soccer season, you see different swings in momentum, and Portland and Dallas have both put on fantastic runs at different points this season so far. Who do you think is going to be affected the most by this, if anybody?
I guess we need to wait and see about Graham Zuzi's injury from last night. I don't think it's serious, but you know, that would be the first thing that comes to mind, just simply because if any team actually loses one of their key players to an injury in the All-Star game, that's going to disrupt their season the most. But I think for the most part, none of the teams are really going to be too disrupted by this. I mean, they're used to playing midweek games during the course of the season, and these aren't the entire teams that are playing. It's just a player or two, or in some cases, none. So I think as long as Zuzi comes out of it okay, he might miss a game, but I don't think it's going to disrupt them too much. The Galaxy, you know, they have to play Real Madrid. I don't know off the top of my head if they have another game this weekend, or they gave them the weekend off. But, you know, if they have a Real Madrid game and then they have an MLS game, you know, 2 or 3 days later, that's going to be a definite factor, and you can expect to see a lot of reserves against Real Madrid. But, you know, for the most part, when you talk about one game and you talk about one game with one, two, maybe three players tops from each team, they should be able to come out of it relatively unscathed.
Well, let's hope, Seth, that the bullish European sides don't come along and disrupt any of the Major League Soccer sides. They're in some fine form at the moment. RSL having a great last few games. Vancouver hot on their tail as well, 16 points from the last 8 games at the moment. Who's impressed you the most as we're kind of getting at this kind of halfway point in the Major League Soccer season? And who do you think is pipped to make a great run to the playoffs come this second half of the year?
Well, yeah, like you mentioned, Real Salt Lake have really impressed me simply because going into this season, they lost some of their most important and longest-serving players from the last few years. When you talk about Hamison Olave, Will Johnson, Fabian Espindola, and even in Johnny Steele to a lesser extent. But, you know, full credit to Jason Kreiss and Garth Lagerwey, because they always just seem to find these guys that can just step in and fill the role of players that left. I mean, they get guys from South America, and they've had a ton of success with that, from Olave to Espindola to Javier Morales. Now they've got Olmes Garcia, and they have just managed to keep on going, and now they have the most points in Major League Soccer. So I've been really impressed with them. And of course, Portland has been a big surprise, but a pleasant surprise. Caleb Porter's done a great job. They've gotten a lot of good performances from guys. I mean, they've gotten career years from, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys out of their starting 11. You know, you go down the list with Wallace and Will Johnson and Darlington Nagbe, and Valeri's been a great addition. So they're going to be a dangerous side as well. And I think in the East, it's a little more wide open. You know, Sporting KC is on top of the conference right now, but I think, you know, man for man, the Red Bulls can really give anybody a lot of trouble. Obviously, if Henry is healthy and scoring, they're going to be doing well. And Olave has been a really key addition to them. And Montreal, you know, they started off hot and they've sort of slowed down a bit. And they've addressed some of their issues by signing a couple new guys in the last week or so, because what's going to happen with them is they have CONCACAF Champions League coming up, which is already going to be, I mean, it was going to be an issue for them regardless, but specifically because they have kind of an older roster. So we'll have to see how that develops. But, you know, like most MLS seasons, it's pretty wide open at this point. So we'll have to wait and see how things go in the last 2 or 3 months of the year.
And as you say, with CONCACAF Champions League getting underway in at this moment in time, are we finally going to see a U.S. Team lifting it this season?
That's a great question. the last couple of years, they've made strides. And I think what's interesting is Real Salt Lake a couple of years ago obviously got the closest that any MLS team has ever gotten. But Real Salt Lake made it all the way to the final without having to face any Mexican teams. And obviously they got to the final and lost to a Mexican team. So I think even though an MLS team didn't make it to the finals this year, the fact that they were able to actually finally beat a Mexican team over a two-leg playoff, Seattle against Tigres, is a good sign, even though Tigres kind of brought up a reserve squad for the second leg, which was just insane. But I think that, you know, it's just kind of cliche and everyone says it, but MLS is slowly closing the gap on the Mexican teams. And the other piece of good news is three-time defending champion Monterrey will not be back this year to go for a four-peat. They didn't qualify. So I think everyone in MLS is going to be pretty stoked not to have to face Monterrey. So who knows? This could be the year.
Let's hope that finally we can have a U.S. side lifting the CONCACAF Champions League final trophy. Of course, the LA Galaxy, the last team to win it against Olympia back in 2000. Seth, an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show today, mate. We really appreciate you taking the time out to join us here on WFD, and look forward to catching up with you later on as we get into the business end of the Major League Soccer season. Wow, I can't even get my words out today, mate. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Seth Vitone there from Goal.com joining us here on World Football Daily. You can find Seth at svertgoal.com. That's svertgoal.com. All one word on Twitter. Editor of goal.com USA. And a great man to talk all things US soccer.